The U.S. presidential election now 1 week away. Will it be a landslide quick result or a days-long process of knowing?
American voters aren't just uneasy about the election. They're uneasy about what happens after the election.
The battle beyond the vote comes with concerns over certifying the results and legal challenges that are most likely to follow.
We have had instances where, for example, election officials have refused to certify results. That's a new phenomenon because sort of prior to 2020, the role of certifying results was sort of a very ministerial and straightforward, non-discretionary act.
Today is Tuesday, October 29th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London. Voters are concerned about a potentially contested election and what that would look like in this divided political landscape.
They're worried that could include political violence. It could include legal efforts to overturn the election or even attempts by local or state election officials to stop the results from being certified and finalized.
Gary Fields with the Associated Press says the news organization has looked at the issue of voter concerns.
But only about one-third of voters expect former President Donald Trump to accept the results and concede if he loses. The same concern does not apply to Vice President Kamala Harris. Nearly 8 in 10 voters said Harris will accept the results and concede if she loses.
And the biggest concerns are focused on legal attempts to change election rules.
They're trying to set the case so that it is a free and fair election so that they can sow doubt in the election process and create chaos and confusion.
That's U.S. House of Representative Nikema Williams from the U.S. state of Georgia expressing frustration over Republican efforts in the state to sow doubt about election integrity and attempting to implement rules, allegedly making it more difficult to vote and verify the results in the state.
A judge in that state of Georgia temporarily halted a new rule requiring poll workers to hand count ballots in the November 5th election. We hear more now from Gabe Singer with Reuters.
It's a blow to former President Donald Trump, whose Republican allies pushed for the change after he lost the battleground state in 2020 and went on to make false claims of widespread voting fraud in the state. Early voting has begun in Georgia, with record numbers counted on Tuesday. The state is one of 7 so-called battleground states, which are likely to determine the presidential contest between Trump and his Democratic opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris. The hand count rule was passed in late September by a pro-Trump conservative majority of Georgia's election board. They said they were attempting to make the November election more secure and transparent. Democrats had said the change would sow chaos and delay results. The decision was not immediately available on the court's online docket on Tuesday night, but in a copy of the decision posted by the progressive website Democracy Docket, Judge Robert McBurney said, quote, "Anything that adds uncertainty and disorder to the electoral process disturbs the public." McBurney did not say the rule was illegal, but that it was appropriate to pause it pending further review. An appeals court could still potentially reverse the decision. The Harris campaign issued a statement Tuesday hailing the decision as a win for voters. Representatives of the Georgia State Election Board and Republican National Committee did not immediately respond to requests for comment.
That was Gabe Singer with Reuters reporting.
It's a whole new era, Lori, in legal maneuvering pre and post election. I guess the first time we really saw it in this magnitude was the 2000 election, where the battleground was the state of Florida, and the recounting of ballots was the center arena.
Of course, we're on uncharted territory now after 2020, and you know, an election that former President Trump still claims he won, even though there's no evidence of that.
And that's after many, many, many court battles and rulings. So, just what can we expect regarding legal challenges before this election, the 2024 election, is certified? Joining us now for a deeper understanding is Professor Rebecca Green, co-director of the Election Law Program at William & Mary College.
I know a lot of voters are concerned.
We've been hearing a lot of news and information about efforts to overturn the 2024 election results, whether it's through issues with states and potentially promising not to certify. So what are the biggest concerns as far as you can see?
Well, we have had during the 2020 election and then, you know, straight through the 2022 election, we have had instances where, for example, election officials have refused to certify results. That's a new phenomenon because sort of prior to 2020, the role of certifying results, it was sort of a very ministerial and straightforward, non-discretionary act. The couple of times that has happened, where there have been election officials who have refused to certify, we have election laws and courts that are there to make sure that voters' voices are heard. And the courts in both cases, or in every case where there has been a refusal to certify, have ordered the official to do so. And so I have every confidence that, courts will continue to do that if those issues arise in the future.
Part of the strategy, besides trying to block certification, the actual act of it, is to sow doubt in the elections. This is a big strategy, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can, you can sort of say whatever you want on social media and in headlines of newspapers and wherever else. But the fact of the matter is that evidence is required in a court of law. And so just like in 2020, where you had courts vetting various claims of problems with the election, there's a very careful adversarial process that makes sure that people can air their concerns and that those concerns are carefully vetted. I think that will sort of counter the efforts that people may be having to cast doubt on the outcome. And certainly, obviously, if there is evidence of problems and, if courts are confronted with, verified and substantial evidence, then they'll act accordingly, as they have throughout American history. I mean, we've had a lot of, election contests where courts have had to weigh evidence of, vote tampering of various sorts. And so courts know how to do that work. And our law is sort of laws in the states are sort of set up to address those kinds of claims.
Well, it sounds like there are a number of plans in the works potentially to purge voter rolls, to, question ballots, question mail-in ballots, overseas ballots. What are some of the other things that are you're seeing maybe even just delay this?
Yeah, so there are, if you have concerns, for example, that people who are ineligible to vote are on voter rolls, there are processes and procedures for challenging voters. And as we've seen, for example, in Virginia and Alabama, courts have upheld a federal law that requires a quiet period where you can't have systemic removals of voters from voter rolls to sort of protect voters who are eligible from being removed incorrectly. That's just sort of an example of how the system is open to those kinds of challenges and people sort of bringing forward concerns about how the elections are run. But courts and federal and state laws require that those concerns be brought in a timely manner, not right before an election. So that sort of addresses the question about, what will happen if people bring challenges right now, like on the eve of an election. Courts will generally not hear those kinds of claims because they'll say to those litigants, if you had those concerns, you certainly could have brought them, but you would have had to bring them in a more timely way. And then in terms of what happens after elections, so every state has what are known as, they're called different things, but they're known as contest rules. So rules where you can contest the outcome of an election. You can allege that, there were ineligible voters voting, or you can allege that there was a problem with the voting machine, or you can allege that state law wasn't followed. And those processes are routine. So this happens, especially in close elections, this happens all the time. And states are under strict deadlines for how those contests unfold, and so you'll have your day in court, and you'll, assuming you have standing to bring those kinds of claims, assuming that the law gives you standing to bring those types of claims. And those types of claims are vetted to make sure that the outcome of the election is correct. And they'll sort of follow the state's calendar for those kinds of claims being heard in court. So, you know, I hope people realize that, you know, the idea that election outcomes can be contested, I hope people realize that has occurred in the past many, many times, hundreds and hundreds of cases, and courts know how to handle that litigation.
In the United States, we elect the president not in a single election, but really it's 50 separate elections. And right. Then because there's 50 states, each state aggregates their votes, comes up with the number of votes in the Electoral College that they've been assigned, and then that number determines who's the president.
Right.
So this strategy of attempting to delay and obstruct in this way, which we didn't see on this kind of strategic level before the last election cycle and the cycle before it, has it added a whole new layer to the two parties, primarily the Democrats and the Republicans, staff-wise, planning-wise, spending-wise, where they have to both actively attempt to gain an advantage by doing these things, and the other side has to, and also both sides, I guess, have to fight or be prepared to fight these things in court?
Yeah, I mean, I think the role of the increase in litigation has certainly had an impact in terms of how campaigns think about staffing questions. And, there's been some really interesting work. A guy named Derek Muller, a professor out of Notre Dame, wrote a really interesting article about how campaign finance law actually plays a little bit of a role here, because in 2014, there was a federal law change that allowed campaigns to spend or segregate money on litigation, meaning they didn't have to take the funds out of their other activities. And so that gave political parties kind of a budget for litigation in ways that I think are being exploited today in terms of, having aggressive litigation strategies that you might not have had in the past because you might have wanted to spend those funds getting your voters out to the polls. So there are a lot of really complex dynamics underway that I think is feeding some of this. But it certainly is the case that, It does feel like, and I think is the case, that there's a lot more litigation happening that we might not have seen in past cycles.
We understand that there's a very good possibility that we won't know the results on election night because of all the people that have mailed in their ballots, and that takes time.
Yeah.
And we know that we have heard former President Donald Trump sort of the last time around indicate that he won because he was up in the polls. Do you think that if it is not really substantially clear one way or another on election night, that will also add to some of the challenges and sort of concerns that people aren't believing what's happening?
Yeah, I think it's really important for members of the media and community leaders and others to make it really clear that counting ballots accurately takes time, especially in a world where there are high volumes of absentee voters. And it is very unlikely that we will have sort of a definitive outcome on election night, particularly if, as they're projecting, it is a close election. And so I think, it is important that people understand that, if you want an accurate count, you may have to wait for a period of time after election night. you know, the days, you know, when it's not a close election, it's easier to make projections about vote totals. When it's a close election, you know, the various states and news outlets are less likely to call an election because they'll want to obviously wait and make sure that they have the most accurate count. So yeah, so I think it's an important point to make that people should not expect that the result will be clear on election night, and that because it is not clear is no indication of there being a problem. It's just a matter of wanting to make sure that the counts are accurate.
With the election expected to be so very close, the amount of litigation post the election, particularly in the seven states that are likely to decide this election, are expected to be higher, would you say?
Yeah, so the way it generally works is, you know, depending on how the Electoral College math unfolds and which states matter based on those calculations, you know, the campaigns will deploy lawyers to see what they can do about, you know, getting more votes for their candidate. And, you know, that is, you know, it's possible that will come down to only a few states or even a single state. And of course, we've seen that in the past. And that's where you'll see a lot of sort of back and forth over whether the law was followed, whether there were problems, you know, whether there's any way to sort of wring more votes out for one side or the other. And that is something that we've seen in the past. And, you know, there's something called the election officials prayer, which is, please let this not be close, because when elections are close, that is when, you know, you get a lot of lawyers descending and you start to see some of the more aggressive arguments to try and defend your candidate's win.
That's great.
Are you anticipating, from everything you're seeing at least, that there are likely to be legal challenges and this will drag out?
Yeah, I mean, I think if it's close, then there will be. It's very likely, based on how elections have gone in the past. When the stakes are high, you know, that's when the litigation happens, if it's close. And so it may be, again, that you see contests brought or even recounts potentially. And that, of course, does take a while to resolve. But as I said earlier, you know, the courts in every state have done contest and recount litigation, a lot of it. And so, you know, there are strict calendars for how that goes. And courts are aware that there are federal deadlines for when litigation needs to be completed by. And so, you know, even if there's a lot of it in multiple states, you know, the judiciary is prepared to handle it.
What if it goes to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I mean, there's an avenue for the Supreme Court. So the U.S. Congress in 2022 passed a law revising the presidential election process to address some of the problems that arose in 2020. And in that legislation, they created a three-judge court that a candidate can bring a claim to in a very narrow set of circumstances. And there is an avenue for the court to hear an appeal from that litigation. It doesn't have to, but the court could take that case if it's appealed. So there is certainly a role for the Supreme Court to play potentially in this election, as there has been in, you know, all previous elections. So that will sort of, we'll see how that plays out.
All right. Well, we wait and see, less than a week away. Thank you so much for the time and the info.
Professor Rebecca Green, co-director of the Election Law Program at William & Mary Law School.
So, Lori, you really have to believe in the court system in the United States, is what she's saying, I think, because there are laws and there are rules and there's a timeline, and this is something fighting over ballots and the validity of ballots and the validity of elections that has happened in the past, even though we're seeing a whole new amped up era.
Yeah, and I have a feeling it's going to be a long week next week. It's not going to just be the election night and we know the winner and all is well. I think it's going to be a long week before we really have anything solid, if we do at all, and we'll see what kinds of legal challenges actually do come up and how chaotic and stressful it may be for everyone who's, you know, just on the edge of their seat waiting to see what is going to happen, not just even here, but all over the world.
This has been The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us here at VOA, thanks so much for joining us.
Follow The Issue on X and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, you can go to our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We will talk to you tomorrow.